Let us hear the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And then reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground." May the Lord our God put his blessing upon the reading of his holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we ask now for your presence to be with us, that you would guide and direct the preaching and the hearing of your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. My mama, she is now deceased. But how in the world did she do it? She was a school teacher, worked all the time, from like 7:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. And then she would come home and fix dinner. She would clean. She would put everything back where it's supposed to be. And you know, it must have just killed her. It must have been no sleep, no rest for the weary. How did she do it? Well, I know how she did it. Because everything she did, she understood she was doing it for Jesus Christ. Didn't make it any easier. Didn't take the weariness away. But it gave her purpose and it gave her strength to do all that she should do. Washing dishes, mowing the grass, doing laundry, changing diapers, cooking supper, planting the garden, doing repair work around the house. You know, most of us spend a whole lot of time doing that kind of work. And we find that kind of work maybe menial. We don't see there's a purpose in cutting the grass or doing laundry. But yet there is. While it is true that your name is not going to be written down in history because you did all these household chores, it is simply not true that what you do is insignificant. Many think that the pastor or missionary does the things that are lasting forever. But that's not the case. If you have a calling from God, and sorry for the redundance, if you have a calling from God, you have a calling from God. And that calling from God may be as simple as cooking supper, doing laundry, planting the garden, changing diapers. For the regular guy who gets up in the morning and goes to work and does the same thing every day, it's easy to be confused that this doesn't matter. But it does. I think the Christians in Paul's church had the same experience that you and I do, because Paul writes to them and tells them that what you do is done to the glory of Christ. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart because you're working for Jesus Christ. Cutting the grass, doing laundry, cooking dinner. You are doing it for Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. And then immediately after the creation, we're told that God said to Adam, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Rule over the earth and take possession of it." You see, we need to understand, and I have said this before, we need to understand that what Adam and Eve were commissioned to do was to expand the garden. The garden was not to remain in one isolated place, but the garden was to expand over all of the earth. And our understanding of our work in that is connected to what we think about ourselves. We're human, made in the image of God. What we are cannot be disassociated from what we do. A man who will not work, he's a contradiction in terms. Like fish that will not swim or a bird that will not fly is a person who will not work. You're going against what God has called you to do. Our being, who we are, is connected to our doing, what work we do. Even when sin entered into the world and a curse fell upon Adam and Eve, he was still called upon to expand the garden. There was a curse upon the land. But Adam and Eve were still called upon to expand the garden, to go out and be fruitful. But now it's going to be more difficult because by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat your food. There will be thorns and thistles. And the creation, in a sense, is going to fight against you and hinder you from doing your God-ordained work. But still, being made in the image of God, you are called upon to work. When Christ comes to redeem us from the curse of sin, not only are we going to be forgiven of our sin, but Christ is going to begin to work in us to conform us to his image. The old is gone, the new has come, and we will be made in the likeness of Christ. Paul writes to the Colossians, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, for it is the Lord you are serving." And what Paul has in mind is this creation mandate in Genesis. Paul is agreeing with what Moses has written. He's simply reiterating that since Christ has redeemed us from the curse of sin, we need to begin to act out that which we are. We are to begin to do that which we are commissioned to do. Be made in the image of God. We are to work. Paul tells the Ephesians, "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Now, he's not limiting his idea of good works simply to Bible reading, prayer time. He certainly includes those. But his idea is a much broader understanding. In Paul's mind, being holy, because God is holy, includes the idea of employment. Work and labor, but work and labor with a quality that is beyond comparison. To Paul, the term good works includes being a competent, good worker, whatever you do. Paul tells the Ephesians that we are created to do good works. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, Paul, he's instructing the Ephesians on what it means to put on the new man of Christ and to put off the old man. In other words, he is showing us that being made in the image of God calls upon us to act upon what we are. He says in 4:8, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Those who want to live a holy life will show itself by doing good work. Not to work is sin. Not to work is the sin of theft. You're taking from somebody. But those who want to live holy life must do good work. But it's not just any kind of work. It's a good work. Good quality of work. Because you're working for Christ. If you're a teacher, you got to be the best teacher there is. If you're a businessman, you've got to be the best businessman towards your employees and towards your customers. If you're a homemaker, then each day when you clean and cook, you're to do it just as Mary and Martha did as they waited upon Jesus. Many Christians, we struggle with this understanding. We struggle with seeing significance in our work. We may see our work as a place for witnessing, character building, making money. But what I want you to see is the significance of the work itself. What you do right now, and I can't explain it because it is a mystery. We're simply told that it is true. What you do right now, somehow, some way, is connected to the new heaven and the new earth, the return of Christ. You're not just going to be sitting around at a picnic. You're not going to be lying on a towel at the beach. No. What you do right now, somehow, some way, is connected to what you will be doing in the new heavens and the new earth. I can't explain it. Guess what? The Bible doesn't attempt to explain it. It is the mystery of God. The Bible just simply says, it is true. So work at it with all your heart. Because what you do is ultimately you are serving Christ. The doctor who heals, the mechanic who repairs, the teacher who instructs, the policeman who protects, the housewife who cleans and cooks. No matter what you do, you have received a commission from Christ to do that work. And friend, let me tell you, it is important. You ever tried to explain things to your children? You want them to do certain things because you have in mind what has to be accomplished. They don't understand it. They don't understand how A connects to B and how B connects to C. What you want from them right now is just A. Just do A. You got kids, don't you? I can tell. Just do A and then we'll get to B and ultimately to C. But just do A right now. And you don't even need to know what B and C is. Friends, you're at A right now when it comes to Christ. You're at A. And that A is whatever you work at, do it all to the glory of Christ. Somehow it's connected to what you will be doing when Christ returns. I'm not telling you the B part yet. All you need to know is the A. But you know, some are going to object. They're going to say, but what I do is so ordinary. It's the same thing day after day, week after week. Nothing changes, and it's not very exciting. Yep, welcome to the club. That's the way it is for all of us. But get this, much of the work of Jesus Christ is literally mundane. It's the same old, same old. Sun comes up in the morning. Moon comes up at night. You don't fall out because of that. But guess what? That is the work of Jesus Christ. It is so common to you that you don't really notice it. It's the ordinary day-to-day work of Jesus Christ. The seasons changing, the feeding of the animals in the forest. It goes on day by day, week by week, year by year. And it is so common that you don't even realize that it's happening. God does the same thing every day. And the psalmist says that it's grand. It's beautiful. And so when you find yourself in that situation, doing the same thing day after day after day, do not forget that Christ has put you there, and in His mind, what you are doing is grand. It is beautiful. It is loving. Even if it seems to us as being boring, Christ is doing something through that. How could I have stood here this morning and talked about the godliness of my mother unless she had been doing this? You never know how the mundane things that you do, the ordinary things that you do, you never know who's watching and who it affects. All you need to know is the A, that Christ has called you to it. And sooner or later, He'll give you the B part. And once we have taken on this idea and understanding of our work, it turns even the ordinary things of life into an eternal work to the glory of Christ. A cup of cold water given in the name of Christ, or a dish washed, or a lawn mowed, or a student taught to read, will not go without its reward. Well, maybe you feel chained to an office desk or a workbench or a kitchen sink. And if there is no joy in your work, if you don't see any direction in your work, and you live for the weekends, then you need to stop, step back, and you need to refocus on God's commission to you through Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's going to be difficulties. There are going to be struggles. Because you're a sinner. Your family are sinners. The people you work with are sinners. People in the church, they're sinners. But Christ has redeemed us all from the curse. And now He has recommissioned us to go into the world, to expand the garden, and do it all to the glory of Christ. Your work is not meaningless, but friend, it is very precious to Jesus Christ. And it is precious to Christ because it is a benefit and blessing to Christ's people. Therefore, remain faithful to your calling. Remain faithful. And one day, the B part will come, the C part will come, and you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for the faithfulness of Christ and how He took His work seriously. Oh, Father God, work in our life that we would see the seriousness of all the work that you have called us to. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be able to live for Christ and to His glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.